Around 15,000 years ago, human beings, known at the time as hunter-gatherers, decided to try to domesticate the wolf. They were successful, and thus the dog became the very first known domesticated animal. The dog became the first family pet. And for these past 15,000 years, the dog has remained loyal by our side. In my opinion, the dog is easily the greatest of all animals, for the dog has the purest of heart and the cleanest of souls. They have ability just by looking at us to relax our anxieties and fears and to ease our anger. The dog has been by our side for the past 15,000 years, and the dog offers the purest example of unconditional love that is known to all of human existence. What is it about the dog that is so special? What is it about the dog that caused John Wick to, as of this recording, kill 299 people, all because someone, some asshole, some idiot decided to rob him and kill his dog in the process? Personally, if I am watching a movie, I very rarely cry. I've only cried because of two human characters dying on screen, Han Solo and Tony Stark, aka Iron Man. However, if I'm watching a movie and a dog passes away on screen, I will bawl like a damn baby every single time. What is it about dogs? What is it that makes them so special? Today, on That One Show, we will explore that very question by ranking my 20 favorite songs about dogs ever recorded. So sit, stay, and roll over. This is That One Show, Season 3, Episode 8, Songs About Dogs. Atomic Dog is a song that was released back in 1982 by the one and only King of Funk, George Clinton, on his album Computer Games. It ended up being his last number one R&B single. Initially, it did not do very well because he was kind of shadow banned from radio due to his political consciousness at the time. But only after very strong sales of the album did radio begin playing the song, and later in 1982, in December to be exact, Atomic Dog reached number one. Now, I know anybody listening to the podcast has heard this song, whether they know they have or not. In addition to being a radio staple, it's been in oodlings of shows and movies, such as 101 Dalmatians, Rugrats Go Wild, Hotel for Dogs, The Shaggy Dog, Finn on the Fly, Legally Blonde 2, Red, White, and Blonde. It was also on an episode of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, as well as Scooby-Doo and Menace to Society. It's also been sampled by other musical artists throughout the years, most notably by Snoop Dogg, but we'll get to that later. For now, here is my 20th favorite song about dogs of all time from the one and only George Clinton. This is Atomic Dog.
Dogs of the world unite, dancing dogs. Yeah, kind dog, funky dogs, nasty dogs.
Street.
My 19th favorite song about a dog of all time is called Man of the Hour, and it is the closing track on The Fall, which is the fourth studio album by Norah Jones, and was released back in November of 2009, and as of this recording, has sold 3 million copies worldwide. The narrator's boyfriend of this particular song gives her an ultimatum, either him or her dog. That son of a bitch was jealous of her dog. So, in the end, this was probably an easy choice for the narrator because, unlike the boyfriend, her dog never lied to her, never cheated on her, nor did he have baggage tied to his feet. And that's how this dog became Norah Jones' only Man of the Hour.
It's him and me. That's what he said, but I can't choose between a vegan and a pothead, so I chose you because you're sweet and you give me lots of loving and you eat meat, and that's how you became my only man of the hour. You never lie and you don't cheat and you don't have any baggage tied to your forefeet. Do I deserve to be the one?
Up next at number 18 is I Wanna Be Your Dog by The Stooges. And yes, technically, this is not a song about a dog of the canine variety, but it is essential to this list, at least according to me. I Wanna Be Your Dog was the debut single from their 1969 self-titled debut album, and it has at once been ranked as one of the greatest rock songs of all time by both Pitchfork and Rolling Stone. In this punk rock classic, lead singer of the Stooges, the one and only Iggy Pop, sings about how he wants to be used, well, sexually, by a woman. Songs such as I Wanna Be Your Dog helped establish old Iggy Pop as a punk rock icon, known for his unpredictable and outrageous behavior, particularly on stage. He would often roll around in broken glass, smear himself in peanut butter, and other such antics. And in an interview with Howard Stern a few years back, Iggy explained the sentiment behind I Want to Be Your Dog. He said, quote, "Have you ever seen like a really good-looking girl? Really nice dressed, and she's walking down the street with her dog, right? And like her dog is intimate with her body, and she likes him and everything. Basically, it's the idea of I want to unite with your body. I don't want to talk about literature with you or even judge you as a person. I just want to be your dog." Here is the 18th greatest dog song of all time, at least according to that one show, Iggy and the Stooges with I Wanna Be Your Dog.
So messed up, I want you here. In my room, I want you here. Now we're gonna be face to face.
Up next is a particular song that many people answered when I put out on social media asking my listeners what their favorite dog song of all time is. Well, it's not my number one, but it is my number 17. It is Old Red, which was originally written by James Bold, Ohan Don Goodman, and Mark Sherrill, and has been recorded many times over the years by such notable country artists as George Jones, Kenny Rogers, and most recently, Blake Shelton. Now, Blake's version actually reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100 country charts. But that's not the version we'll be playing for you today, because you know I got to play the possum. But we'll get to that just in a second. Now, the narrator of Old Red is a prisoner who is serving a 99-year term at a prison farm down in South Georgia for committing a crime of domestic violence after catching his wife having sex with another man, presumably killing at least one of them, but maybe both. That, actually, tidbit is left kind of unclear. 2 years into his sentence, he integrates himself with the warden and actually becomes kind of friends with the warden and is assigned to tend to Old Red, which is the warden's prized bloodhound, whom he uses to help catch escapees. In fact, Old Red is such a good hound and can track down potentially escaping prisoners that the warden dares anybody in the prison to try to escape. Many have tried and none have ever successfully succeeded. As Old Red can smell a trail up to 2 days old, and the prison is also surrounded by quicksand swamps and alligators. The narrator ends up taking care of Old Red and taking him on evening walks, and then this old fella gets him an idea. He bribes a guard to let him send out a letter to his cousin who lives in Tennessee, who in turn brings a female blue tick coonhound and ties her up in the swamp just outside of the prison. And wouldn't you know it, she's in heat. And the narrator takes Old Red one evening for his daily run, and when he passes by the swamp, hoping Old Red and the blue tick will mate. And once they start doing this consistently, the narrator intentionally keeps the dogs apart for several days. And then he escapes from the prison one evening and heads north towards Tennessee. And when the warden turns Old Red loose, hoping he chases the prisoner, he is so eager to get back up with and mate with his old blue tick hound girlfriend that he runs south towards her and completely ignores the escaping prisoner. Sometime later, the two dogs have bred litters of red-haired blue tick hounds all over the American South. And as the song closes, the narrator muses that love got him in here, referring to prison, and love got him out. Here is George Jones singing the classic song, Old Red.
Caught my wife with another man. Now I'm doing 99. At a prison down in Georgia, close to the Florida line. I've been here for 12 long years, and I finally made the warden my friend. So he sentenced me to a life of ease, taking care of Old Red. Now Old Red, he's the dangest dog this old boy has ever seen. He's got a nose that can smell a two-day trail. Oh, he's a four-legged tracking machine. Just consider yourself mighty lucky to get past the gators and the quicksand beds. But all these years that I've been here, ain't nobody got past Red. Hear the warden say, come on, somebody, why don't you run? Old Red's attention to have a little fun. Get my lantern, get my gun. Red will have you treat for the morning come.
Next on the list is Old Dog's Children and Watermelon Wine by Tom T. Hall, the first song on this list from a Kentuckian, but I assure you it shall not be the last. Now, this song was released back in November of 1972 from Tom Tees Hall's album, The Storyteller. And it was his third number one on the U.S. country charts and earned him his second nomination for the Grammy Awards for Best Country Song. It spent several weeks at the top of the Billboard charts, 13 to be exact. And when Rolling Stone came out with their list of the 100 greatest country songs of all time back in 2014, they rated Old Dogs, Children, and Watermelon Wine in at number 3. This particular song is actually a true account of Tom Tees Hall's experience at the 1972 Democratic National Convention, where he had a conversation with an old janitor at a Miami Beach hotel. The janitor appraised his own life by concluding that the only things in this life worthwhile are old dogs, children, and watermelon wine.
Tell me all about it, though I didn't answer back. Ain't but three things in this world that's worth a solitary dime. But old dogs and children and watermelon wine. He said, women think about themselves when menfolk ain't around. And friends are hard to find when they discover that you're down. He said, I tried it all when I was young and in my natural prime. Now it's old dogs and children and watermelon wine. Old dogs care about you even when you make mistakes. God bless little children.
Old Dog, specifically Old being in the title. Up next is Dirty Old Egg Sucking Dog by the one and only Johnny Cash. This song first appeared on his album Everybody Loves a Nut, and it is a funny story about a shaggy old dog that keeps on killing the narrator's chickens. It's kind of an amusing cartoon of a song wherein the narrator is threatening to send the dog to the big chicken house in the sky. According to the book, The Best Country Music, this song is one of the most intentionally silly songs that Johnny Cash ever sung, nor or Jack Clement ever wrote, the other being Flushed from the Bathroom of Your Heart. No self-respecting kid could fail to enjoy the joke lyrics to Dirty Old Egg-Sucking Dog, stated this author. Now, for this purposes, we will be playing in what my opinion is the definitive version of Dirty Old Egg-Sucking Dog, and that is from Johnny Cash's performance and live album, Live at Folsom Prison, that was released in 1968. Here is the one and only Man in Black, Johnny Cash, singing Dirty Old Egg-Sucking Dog.
Well, he's not very handsome to look at. Oh, he's shaggy and he eats like a hog. And he's always killing my chickens. That dirty old egg-sucking dog. Egg-sucking dog. I'm gonna stomp your head in the ground if you don't stay out of my hen house, you dirty old egg-sucking hound. Now if he don't stop eating my eggs up, though I'm not a real bad guy, I'm going to get my rifle and send him to that great
chicken house in the sky.
Move It On Over by Hank Williams Sr. was his first major hit, peaking at number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100. It was recorded and released back in 1947, and is kind of a novelty song of sorts. Move It On Over tells the story of a fella who comes home drunk late at night, and to find himself locked out of his house, and therefore he has to literally spend the night in the doghouse. Now, there's an old saying in which one gets in trouble with her significant other that that person is in the doghouse. Well, the narrator of this song was actually in the doghouse. George Thorogood would have a hit himself with this particular song almost 50 years later after Hank released it in 1947. Here he is, Hank Williams Sr. with Move It On Over.
Came in last night at 10:30. That baby of mine wouldn't let me in. So move it on over.
Move it on over.
Move it on over.
Move it on over.
Move over, little dog, cause the big dog's moving in. She's changed the lock on our front door. My door key don't fit no more. So get it on over.
Move it on over.
Scoot it on over.
Move it on over.
Move over, skinny dog, cause the fat dog's moving in. This dog house here is mighty small, but it's better than no house at all. So ease it on over.
Move it on over.
Drag it on over.
Move it on over.
Move over, old dog, cause our new dog's moving in.
If you follow me on social media, you probably read a couple days ago that I posted that this particular episode has more songs on it that make me cry than any that I've done up until now. And if you are a longtime listener of this show, you know early on I did an episode called I'm Hurtin' Linda, shout out Dwight Yoakam and Durrell Hallgraves and Sling Blade, that featured nothing but heartbreaking songs. Yet it's this one that really gets my tears to flowing. And the first song on this list, but certainly not the last, that makes me cry is the one and only Feet Jake by the Pirates of the Mississippi, which for my money is one of the saddest songs ever written. And don't take my word for it, but in 2019, Rolling Stone agreed with me. In fact, they said it was the 37th saddest song in music history. And I'll be damned if it's only the 37th. I hate to even fathom to listen to the other 36. Here is the all-time classic song, be it about a dog or any other subject matter, from the band Pirates of the Mississippi. This is Feed Jake.
Now if you get an ear pierced, some will call you gay. But if you drive a pickup, they'll say no, you must be straight. What we are and what we ain't, what we can and what we can't, does it really matter? Now I lay me down to sleep and pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, feed Jake. He's been a good dog, my best friend, right through it all. If I die before I
All right, Next, we have the song Cracker Jack by the one and only Dolly Parton. And although she recorded this song way back in 1973, it wasn't officially released until she re-released her album Jolene back in 2007 as a deluxe edition. This sentimental song finds Dolly Parton reminiscing about her childhood best friend, a stray dog she rescued by the name of Cracker Jack. She was inspired by the unconditional love dogs provide to their human partners and the lasting impact they have long after they are gone. Dolly explained in her 2020 book called Storyteller, quote, "I love dogs. I love all animals, and I write a lot of songs about them. Cracker Jack is based on different family members who had dogs and lost them. Your dog always lives on in your memory. Even though they don't live as long as most people, dogs leave lasting memories. And you might get another dog with a different name, but you'll always remember that other dog, especially if it was your first one. And like Cracker Jack, your first dog in your childhood can help you through a lot of problems. You see, Cracker Jack only lives in memories now, but he was the best friend I ever had. More than that, he was a playmate, a companion with love and understanding. That's what pets are. They have that unconditional love. You can tell them anything, and they accept it at face value, and they won't tell anyone your secrets." This song story was adapted for the fourth episode of the 2019 Netflix anthology series called Dolly Parton's Heartstrings, and I highly recommend you check out that series, especially this episode. It follows four childhood friends who look to the past to help them overcome their current adult struggles. The character of Lucy Jane has just been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and she reminisces back and remembers her heroic dog by the name of Cracker Jack, who died while facing off against a rattlesnake protecting her. In a twist of fate, a new dog comes into her life just when she needs one the most. Here is the classic Dolly Parton song, Cracker Jack.
Once I had a little dog, I called him Cracker Jack. He had a spot around one eye that looked just like a patch. His legs were way too long and he was awkward as could be. He wasn't much to look at, but he looked all right to me. I found him by the riverbank just wandering about. He was cold and hungry and his ribs were sticking out. I snapped my fingers, whistled when he came, I picked him up. I was just a kid and Cracker Jack was just a pup. I took him home and fed him till he couldn't eat no more. I took him to my room and put a blanket on the floor. After that, beside my bed is where he'd always sleep. Each night in my prayers I'd pray the Lord his soul to keep. Cracker Jack, the best friend that I ever had was Cracker Jack, but he was more than that, a playmate, a companion.
The next song would technically be number 11 on the list, which would normally mean it is my 11th favorite song about dogs of all time. However, at this point in time, I need to make a confession to you all, the listeners. This song definitely is among my 20 favorite songs about dogs of all time, but I have strategically placed it at number 11 for a couple reasons. Mainly to offer some levity after a couple of songs that are really sad and before many others that are extremely sad. I wanted to add a bit of humor into the mix at this point in time. Now, the song itself is kind of silly. Just a couple minutes long and just kind of a nonsense song about a dog. However, when researching this song, I have found the transcript of an all-time rant by the song singer. That is the one and only Mr. Neil Young, and this song is called Old King. And what I'm about to read for you is actually verbatim, a transcript word for word on how he introduced this song called Old King
at a concert on September the 22nd, 1992, in Los Angeles, California's Greek Theater. And quote, "This is a song about my dog. His name is Elvis. Elvis is riding on Jimi Hendrix's bus now. He traveled with me for many years. Well, I changed his name to King in this song to avoid any confusion. Elvis had quite a nose. That was his whole thing, was his nose. But you know, he was very sensitive about it. And I'll tell you a little story about him. He used to go on the road with me all the time. And you know, he kind of smelled like a hound, 'cause he was a hound. But it smelled good to him. And, you know, we would take him to a veterinarian place or something, and they'd clean him up a little bit. So when he got on the bus, he wasn't too comfy, you know. After a while, we all kind of got used to each other on the bus. So it was okay. But right at first, he was a little strong. So anyway, once someone took him that usually doesn't take him and took him to some Fifi dog place. And he came back smelling kind of like some bad toilet paper or something. Non-environmental and all. It had this odor to it that was like, ugh, wow. He kind of smelled like one of those things that hangs on people's mirrors, you know, that smell. Anyway, it was bad for me, but to him it was pure hell, because he was, you know, sensitive. I'm cold, and so I was sleeping on the side of the road, and I was on my way out to Eureka, California, to play this gigantic gig. And, you know, he woke me up. It was about 6 in the morning. I get this nose, you know, sniff, sniff, sniff. He woke me up. I'm going, what's happening? It's this big nose. It's looking at me kind of, you know, desperate. You know, I said, God, you smell terrible. You stink. And he knew he stunk. He wanted off the bus. He said, I want to go roll in some cow shit up on the side of the road. So, you know, he was a smart dog. And he was purebred, actually. He was a beautiful hound. And he had all the senses that he needed. He knew how to get back, you know. Hounds will circle an area and keep going in wider and wider circles, and they count how many times. Somehow they know how many times they've been around it. So when they come back in, they just count like the lifeless of a tree or something, you know. You just come right back in and right to the core, and that's where you started from, you know. Anyway, he knew that. He taught me that. And I said, okay, Elvis, take a shot. I'll get to the point when I'm ready to get to the point, Neil Young says at this point. I think he was being heckled to get to the point by a member in the audience. But anyway, I digress. Continuing quote, what a dickhead. I'm telling a dog story. Get to the point. I'm in L.A. or what? You tough, right? You can take it. You know we know so. That's right. So anyway, geez, I might have to start all over again. I think I forgot where I was. So anyway, thanks. Now you got me going. Not really. He took off. I let him go. And there's only one thing that can go wrong if you do that. That's if it rains then and he can't find his way back. Because he can't smell over the rain, you know. He just loses it. So he got lost. He got lost. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and we're still waiting for him to come back. And we got to go to the gig pretty soon or we're going to be late. And you know, and I'm going, shit. I lost my dog. What am I going to tell everybody, you know? I can't leave him behind. I can't. What can I do? So I went out hunting for him. There was a railroad track there, and I walked up and down the railroad track. I was going all by myself up there from the railroad track. I was shouting, Elvis! And I couldn't hear a thing, not a hound around, and so I gave up after a while. Because the Rolling Stones guy was following me around, taking some random notes, getting ready to write an article about me. You know, I saw him write it down, you know. I was out in the railroad track in the middle of nowhere, yelling out Elvis. And I knew that wouldn't be good for my image. So I went back to my bus, and I got out my lucky shirt, which I don't have with me tonight, you may have noticed. I know, but it's too hot for my lucky shirt. So anyway, I took it out there, and I put it down by the bow. Put his bow out there and left the shirt. He'd come back eventually, you know, find his way back to that shirt. And I figured after the gig, I would come back. So I get back up on the bus to take off. So I'm leaving, and this guy in a pickup truck pulls up and says, "Hey, Neil, what are you doing?" Well, so I told him, I'm going to tell it again here. I told him, you said, "Well, that's okay, Neil. I'll go get my wife, and I'll wait. We'll wait right here until he comes back, and then we'll bring him to you in Eureka." I said, "Well, what a great guy. You're great." Yeah, so he did, you know. So I took off, and just before I was about an hour late, nothing like Guns N' Roses or like nothing like that, but, you know, I was late because I had lost my dog. What did they ever lose, you know what I mean? So I got there, and hey, that's rock and roll. You got to do what you got to do. And, you know, just as I was going on, that fella called me and said he'd found my dog. Here is a little bit of Old King by Neil Young.
King went running after deer, wasn't scared of jumping off the truck in high gear. King went sniffing and he would go, was the best old hound dog I ever did know. I had a dog and his name was King. I told the dog about everything. There in my truck, the dog and I. Then one day the King up and thought about the times we had. Once when I kicked him when he was bad. Old King sure meant a lot to me, but that hound dog is history.
Thanks for indulging me on that long, long rendition of a classic Neil Young rant. Before we get into the top 10 dog songs, let us hear a brief word from my good friends at the Goblin Trading Company.
Hey, I want to tell you all real quick about the brand new presenting sponsor of that one show, the Goblin Trading Company. They make all kinds of cool stuff, shirts, t-shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs. They do a lot of D&D type merchandise, but they also have a bunch of exclusive That One Show merch. They've got me as a goblin, they've got me as a superhero, a Funko Pop, all kinds of stuff. You can get those on hoodies, coffee mugs, t-shirts, whatever you'd like. Check them out at etsy.com/shop/goblin trading. I'll also have a link straight to their store in the show notes of this and every episode of season 3. Once again, for your official one show merchandise and much, much more, check out my friends at the Goblin Trading Company.
Kicking off the top 10 is a song called I Will Run by one of my favorite bands, Dawes. This particular song was originally recorded and intended for their album Passwords back in 2017, but was left off because they, along with the producer, felt that at the time it just did not fit in with the other songs. Thankfully now, for you and I at least, it was actually released a couple years ago as a single. I Will Run is sort of a silly song about the irony of how much we depend on the love from our dogs, considering that most of them would bolt out the door if we just gave them the chance. I have to mention before playing this song that all proceeds from streaming as well as digital purposes of this single benefit the North Shore Animal League of America. So if you like the snippet I play here, by all means go and buy it for a buck on iTunes or wherever you get your digital music. Here is my 10th favorite song about dogs of all time. From Dawes, this is I Will Run.
Thank you. I can listen to your plans. I can look you in the eye. If I don't always understand, I can promise you I'll try.
Many dogs are used in therapy, and rightfully so. For more so than any other animal, a dog has the ability to ease our anxiety and forget our worries simply by just being there. The opening verse of our next song, Sometimes I Don't Mind by the Suicide Machines, captures this particular trait of dogs beautifully. Quote, there's something with the way you walk. There's something there that lights a spark inside me, and it makes me want to sing. It makes me forget everything. There's something there inside your eyes. Let me know you'd never lie. You fill me up, and I know what you need. Do you know what you mean to me? Here he is, according to me, the ninth greatest song ever written about dogs. This is Sometimes I Don't Mind by the Suicide Machines.
There's something with the way you walk. There's something that lights a spark inside of me. And it makes me wanna sing. Makes me forget everything. There's something there inside your eyes. Lets me know you never lie. You fill me up. And I know what you need. Do you know what you need to me? Well, I want to sing sometimes, and it feels like the first time. And you're always on my mind. Every day is like the first day. And I talk to you sometimes, even though you never talk back. And I buy your things sometimes, cause I don't mind. There's something strange, you can't get mad.
On August 12, 1952, R&B band leader Johnny Otis asked a couple of songwriters by the name of Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller to come over to his house to meet a young blues singer by the name of Willie Mae Big Mama Thornton. Thornton had been signed by Diamond Don Robey's Houston-based record label called Peacock Records earlier that year, and after two failed singers, Robey had enlisted Otis to reverse her fortunes. After hearing Thornton rehearse several songs, Lieber and Stoller forged a tune that they felt suited her personality, which was, quote, brusque and badass. In an interview in Rolling Stone in 1990, Stoller said, quote, she was a wonderful blues singer with a great moaning style, but it was as much as her appearance as her blues style that influenced the writing of Hound Dog and the idea that we wanted her to growl it while she sung. Lieber recalled, we saw Big Mama and she knocked me cold. She looked like the biggest, baddest, saltiest woman you ever had seen. And she was mean. She was a lady bear, as they used to call them. She must have been 350 pounds, and she had all these scars all over her face, conveying words which could not be sung. but how to do it without actually saying it, and how to do it with telling a story. I couldn't have just have her sing a song full of expletives, he said. I was trying to get something like the Fury Lewis phrase, dirty mother fury. I was looking for something closer to that, but I couldn't find it because everything I went to was too coarse and would not have been playable on any U.S. radio station. Using a black slang expression referring to a man who sought a woman to take care of him, hound dog's opening line, "You ain't nothing but a hound dog," was a euphemism. The song, itself a southern blues lament, the tale of a woman throwing a gigolo out of her house and out of her life. "You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Quit snooping around my door. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no more." Here is a bit of the all-time classic song by the one and only Big Mama Thornton. This is Hound Dog.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Quit snooping around the door. Quit snooping around the door. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna be a you no more. Show me my heart, man. I can see it through. Show me you a heart, man. That I can see it through.
The Ballad of Nude and Juanita is the seventh studio album released by the actual one true goat, Sturgill Simpson. It was released back in 2021. This album is considered a concept album, and specifically it tells the cohesive story of a man named Dude, who back in the 1800s travels through the Kentucky wilderness looking for his kidnapped wife by the name of Juanita. His loyal bloodhound, Sam, along by his side, helps Dude track her through those rough Kentucky hills. And poor Sam literally runs until he dies, sacrificing himself, ultimately, for his owners. Here is a bit of two songs on the album, Played Out and Sam.
Shamrock's head is bobbing, and I don't hear the hound. After 5 days and nights following his sound, Sam done went silent. He's nowhere to be found. Oh, wait, I see him lying there on the ground. Oh, it's played out, thorn stuck in blood raw, torn plumb all the pieces. He's done worn off his paw. Then old Sam let out last dying big call. So I dug him a grave, covered it all. Well, a good dog on the ground's worth three in the saddle.
no matter where you're from. Been many good dog was a friend to a man, but Sam was the greatest one. He was a hound of hounds. He was the wonder of all walkers. He loved howling at the moon. He loved treeing that raccoon. Most of all, he was my best friend, and he's gone too soon. He was a rhyme of the litter, but a plenty mean pup. Put Sam on the scent, and he never let up. Spent his nights on the porch, chewing on a bare bone. Now he's underground, and I'm all alone. Well, a good dog on the ground's worth three in the saddle.
While researching this particular episode, I come upon an obscure law, a rule, if you will, that was enacted by Congress back in 1996. It states that if one is to do a countdown of the greatest songs about dogs of all time, one must include at least one song by Snoop Dogg. So therefore, we are doing just that. This particular song is called Who Am I? What's My Name? And if at the beginning of the episode I mentioned that Snoop Dogg would go on to feature a couple of samples of George Clinton's Atomic Dog, which was all the way back at number 20. And wouldn't you know it, this is the song in which he did that. Here he is from his 1993 debut album, and actually the debut single that Snoop Dogg would release, Who Am I? What's My Name?
From the depths of the sea, back to the black Snoop Doggy Dog, funky yet the dot went solo on that ass, but it's still the same. Long Beach is the spot where I serve my cane. Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me, but don't lose your grip. Nine tris ain't the years there for me to fuck up shit. So I ain't holding nuts back, and motherfucker, I got five on the 20 sack. It's like that, and as a matter of fact, cause I never hesitate to put a nigga on his back.
Yeah, so keep out the manuscript. You see that it's a must, we drop gangsta.
What's the motherfucking name? The bow to the wild, creeping and crawling, yiggy yes yo, and Snoop Doggy Dog in the motherfucking house like every day, dropping shit with my nigga Mr. Dr. Drake, like I said, nigga can't fuck with this.
I think we've well established that dogs are our friends. In fact, they are our best friends. However, oftentimes they can be our teammates, specifically in the sport of hunting. This next song never fails to make me think of my good friend and brother-in-law, Richard Lee Fink. For growing up and all throughout young adulthood, old Lee and his trusted hound dogs would travel throughout the South and stay up all night hunting and treeing raccoons. And in fact, they did very well on the national circuit. I'm speaking, of course, of the title track from the most recent Tyler Childers album, Can I Take My Hounds to Heaven? The narrator of this song loves his dogs so much that he would prefer to go to hell with them and all his friends if he can't take them with him and hunt in heaven.
Just one thing that I need to know before I settle down. Can I take my hounds to heaven? Can I hunt on God's grounds? Now you say if I quit drinking, try to toe the line, I can make it up to glory at the end of my life. And while whiskey's hard to throw away, it's up my tribe. And hey.
Martha, My Dear is a song that appears on the Beatles' 1968 eponymous double album, The Beatles, which is also commonly referred to as the White Album. And although Martha, My Dear is credited to both Lennon and McCartney, the song was solely written by Paul and inspired by his old English sheepdog, Martha. Although this song has been interpreted as a veiled reference to his breakup at the time with Jane Asher, particularly in the line, "Don't forget me, help yourself to a bit of what is all around you," refers to her alleged affair while away from McCartney. This song has been covered by many artists, including, of course, Phish. And according to the biographer of the Beatles, Ian McDonald and Mark Lewison, Martha, My Dear is one of the few songs by the Beatles in which Paul McCartney actually plays all the instruments in the recording. Such a scenario was increasingly common for him during the height of the tensions that marred the sessions of this album. And although George Harrison is known to have recorded a portion of the electric guitar on the final recording, he was not credited. Martha, My Dear was recorded over 2 days on October 4th and 5th in 1968 at Trident Studios in London, with Paul McCartney on piano, drums, and vocals on the very first day. And he was advised to have producer George Martin play the piano solo because it was believed that the solo was beyond McCartney's competency on the piano. However, Paul persisted, and Martin's brass and string arrangements were overdubbed later. And on October 5th, McCartney re-recorded his vocals and added hand claps and overdubbed the bass and guitar, completing the song in its entirety. Here is a bit of The Beatles, Martha, My Dear.
Martha, my dear, love spend my days in conversation, please. Remember me, Martha, my love. Don't forget me, Martha, my dear.
If you are a listener of this show, you know how much I love Justin Wells. If you are new to the show, let me give you a little bit of background on Justin. He is the former lead singer of one of the all-time great Kentucky bands, Fifth on the Floor. Once they broke up, he took a couple years and then released his debut solo album called Dawn in the Distance. And on it contains a song called The Dogs. And it pretty much is about him and his people. We are the dogs that cry for miles on broken legs, he sings in this song. I could not in good conscience do this entire episode about dogs without including a song called The Dogs by my main man Justin Wells. Before playing this song, let me tell you a story about Justin and how awesome this dude is. The first time I saw him live was at the now defunct Thatcher's Downtown in Jackson, Kentucky, a barbecue place. It was on Labor Day weekend, and they were probably about 70 to maybe 100 of us there for the show. Right before Justin came on, it began raining, a steady rain. Undeterred, he decided that he would continue playing, acoustically at least, for fear of being electrocuted if he played electrically, for the show was outside. So he borrowed an acoustic guitar from the opener, the one and only Chelsea Nolan, and played for a good hour. However, then it really became a downpour. It chased almost everybody in the crowd off. Now, us that remained, probably around 15 of us, had more than gotten our money's worth as Justin had put on a fantastic unplugged acoustic show up until this point. Being the man and the performer that he is, he wanted to finish this damn show. So he encouraged us to all crowd under the merch tent, and he joined us. There he played a cover of an Elton John song, and then, to close the show, absolutely phenomenal acoustic version of The Dogs, which until this day is the best live version I've ever heard him play, and I've heard many. Here is a bit of my third favorite song about dogs of all time, my good friend and my main man, Justin Wells, with The Dogs.
My glass is holding the last thing I want to do. I'm gonna drink every dime I make tonight. I'll die just to get a room. It's a bad, bad business this trying to forget you. Well, our souls are a little older, but you can't tell and learn a thing. If there's 12 that got invited, we're 13. We're the last one to know it's over, and the first one to have to beg. We're the dog that crawled for miles on broken legs. We're the dregs. I'll pawn everything I've ever owned just to drive 8 hours to this barroom show to play these songs. I sing all the sad ones and lean on these mad ones, okay.
Coming in at number two is a song written by Cat Stevens when he was only 17 years old. It is called I Love My Dog. And the narrator in this song is telling his lady friend that he loves his dog as much as he loves her. And if this backhanded compliment didn't connect, he went on to dig a deeper hole with the line, "Darling, you may fade, but my dog will always come through." And isn't that the truth? When people constantly let us down in this life, our dogs never will. Here is Cat Stevens with I Love My Dog.
My dog, as much as I love you, but you may fade, my dog will always come through. All he asks from me is the food to give him strength. All he ever needs is love, and that he knows he'll get. So I love my dog as much as I love you. But you may fade, my dog will always come through. All the pay I need comes a-shining through his eyes. I don't need no cold water to make me realize that I love my dog as much as I love you. But you may fade, my dog will always come through.
Before we get to our number one song, I want to tell a brief true story about the first dog I ever remember owning. Technically, it was my dad's dog, but as a little fella, I claimed him as my own. He was a black and tan hound dog called Reject, named so because pretty much no one else wanted him other than my dad. My dad took Reject in and made a pretty damn good hunting dog out of him, and they were about 10 miles from the house as the crow flies, hunting what I remember to be rabbits, when Reject took off on his scent. Dad spent the next few hours screaming for Reject and hoping he would hear him. As night fell, Dad had to come home, but the next morning at dawn, he went back to the vicinity and began looking for Reject again. He repeated this process daily for several weeks. Unfortunately, he never found Reject. Fast forward to about 3 months later. A neighbor about a mile from where we live called our house and said, "Hey, Seeb," which is my dad's nickname, "I believe your old hound dog is coming down the road." Dad, who by this time had given poor Reject up for dead, thought that maybe they were pulling his leg. But he immediately said, "I almost for sure it is Reject." So Dad, so excited, began running down the road on foot. He didn't even bother to get in his truck. And there he saw Reject limping towards him in the distance. And just like in a movie, Dad ran and hugged and embraced Reject, and poor Reject was worse for wear. He had lost probably half of his body weight and was missing half a foot. You see, Reject had got caught in a trap. Not giving up, old Reject gnawed off half of his foot, freeing himself, and started his long journey home. That is the love that our dogs have for us, and that is something that we can hardly ever duplicate as human beings. I want to thank you all for listening, and now we shall get to what, in my opinion, is the best and certainly the saddest song on our list. It is Creed Stapleton's song called Maggie's Song, and is a heartbreakingly and sweet tribute to his dog. Chris Stapleton definitely knows there's nothing quite like a man's best friend that brings companionship, fun, and joy to our lives. So when his dog Maggie passed away back in 2019, Stapleton and his family were racked with grief and loss. She had been with them for 14 years ever since they found her abandoned in a shopping cart out in a parking lot. With such a painful loss, Stapleton knew right then and there that he had to write a song for Maggie. After all, she was a member of their family, and she deserved a song, he would later say. He based Maggie's song on their real-life story, where he introduces us, the listener, to a fuzzy black pup that they brought home, that they eventually took to a farm where this four-legged friend kept him and his kids company and safe from harm. The song goes on as he tells the playful relationship that Maggie shared with each of his five kids, like how she took off like a bullet to play in the snow. And of course, he recalls, sadly, the day Maggie died, as a rainy Monday morning. And it's indeed one of the most emotional country songs about dogs or any other subject that was ever written, in my opinion. And with Stapleton singing over a gentle melody that blends guitar and piano with the soothing vocals of his wife, Morgan. Out of all Chris Stapleton's songs, this song, he admits himself, is his most personal. And it was indeed one of the most difficult to get through while recording his album Starting Over. In fact, he many times got choked up while recording it. And I venture to say, you'll likely do the same while listening. Here is Chris Stapleton with Maggie's Song. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all soon.
Let me tell you a story about an old friend of mine. Somebody left her in a shopping cart in a parking lot for us to find. Just a fuzzy black pup she
She was hungry and feeling alone. We put her in the back seat, told her we were taking her home. Run, Maggie, run, with the heart of a rebel child. Oh, run, Maggie, run, be just as free as you are wild. A few kids later, we moved out on the farm. She followed those kids around, yeah, she kept them safe from harm. And she loved to chase squirrels and playing out in the snow. She'd take off like a bullet, man, you should have seen her go. Raining on a Monday, the day that Maggie died. She woke up and couldn't use her legs, so I lay down by her side. She put her head on my hand like she'd done so many times. I told her she was a good dog, then I told her goodbye.
One Show is brought to you by The Goblin Trading Company and is written, produced, and recorded by me, Brian Combs, most of the time right on my kitchen table. If you enjoy this show, please share it with someone who you think may enjoy it as well, and check me out on social media, on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. As always, thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.